Welcome, welcome, welcome to the next episode of There's More. Now, I'm going to introduce the title immediately because there's a lot that I want to cover and a lot of stuff I've been doing a lot of thinking about that I'm really excited to get into. So the title of this episode is Kanye, Kanye, Kanye. And here's why I'm so excited to get into this. Think about it. How crazy is it how much our culture is talking about Kanye West right now? Now, he's always been a fascinating character. You know, if you followed along with his journey, depending on how much you paid attention, this is a person who was known as Jay-Z's producer. Then he became this extremely successful solo artist. Then he goes on public TV during Hurricane Katrina right next to Mike Myers, who was clearly uncomfortable, and sort of powerfully and prophetically said, George Bush doesn't care about black people. Then he's on a red carpet licking Amber Rose's bald head. Some of you don't know that. Then he runs up on stage and interrupts Taylor Swift. Then he marries Kim Kardashian and he's like on the show. Then all of a sudden, years goes by and he shows up and he's wearing Donald Trump's Make America Great Again hats and telling Donald Trump that they share this dragon energy, and you know, Donald Trump makes him feel like a superhero and he's like a dad to him. Then all of a sudden, well, actually before that, then he's sort of having these public expressions that are clearly him struggling with mental health issues, which is very serious, but for him, it's just he's doing it so publicly, so it's adding even more complexity to the unfolding drama of his life. And most recently, after all of those things, which most of his life publicly I left out, now he all of a sudden becomes the most outspoken, born-again evangelical Christian that our country can see right now. Even to the point where he was on TV with Joel Osteen recently. What is happening right now? So many people are fascinated. So many people are wondering what's going on with him. So many people have different opinions. Some people are celebrating how outspoken he is. Some people are suspicious of him. Some people are critical of the things he's saying, but it seems everybody has thoughts on that. So now, at a time when so many different people have so many different things to say about him, what I wanted to do was zoom out just a little bit and kind of help make sense of who are these broader, like how do we categorize, are there a few different overall ways of seeing Kanye West right now? Because if so, it kind of helps us make sense of who these different groups of people are, what they're saying about him, but I think most importantly, why they're saying what they're saying about him. So I'm going to look at three different groups who I think offer three of the bigger picture different views of Kanye West right now that you kind of hear through the media. And then after that, in the end, I'm just going to offer a few of my own thoughts. And here's the three different groups before I get into them. One, we see conservative Christians that are suspicious of Kanye West. Then we see another group of conservative Christians who are elated and celebrating everything Kanye's doing right now. And then the third group would be a group of more socially or even theologically or spiritually progressive people who have a very critical lens on what Kanye West is saying and doing right now. So I want to look at each one of these groups and kind of make a little bit of sense about what they're saying and why they're saying it. And then I'm just going to end with a few of my own thoughts. So I am ready to get into this. Here is the first group. The first group that you are going to hear stuff from in the media about Kanye West is conservative Christians who have what I call an allergy to culture or celebrity. So when it comes to art and culture and even more specifically, sort of the culture of celebrity, this group of conservative Christians are very antagonistic or suspicious of that, or I would say they have an allergy to culture. So these are the kind of folks right now that are asking questions like, is Kanye West's conversion real? Is he really a Christian? Can we really trust what he's saying and doing? You know, and even more seriously, you know, is God really involved, as if, you know, they get to decide how God gets involved in the world? And here's the thing, this group of people come out of a tradition of Christianity that always has a very antagonistic relationship with culture. So this is a group of people who make very clear distinctions between sacred and secular, between the sacred and the profane, between the world and the church. They're kind of always creating different categories of us versus them. So these would be the kinds of churches where when a young person first becomes a Christian, usually the first order of business is you need to get rid of and stop listening to all of your secular music, because there's no way God's involved anywhere except for the hymns that we write or the worship songs we sing in church. Right? In the 70s, it's these hippies become Christians and they're like, you can't listen to rock and roll anymore. That's the devil's music. That's secular. That's going to, you know, that's the darkness that's going to envelop your light. So you need to get rid of those things. And as young Christians, people are like, oh yeah, you're right. This is the devil's music. I should get rid of this. Or even when I first became a Christian a long time ago, the first churches I was a part of, you know, kind of had some of this in their flavor. And because I grew up so immersed in hip hop and really growing up, I listened to 99% of what I listened to was rap, which to this day, it's probably more like 95 is still only what I listen to. But when I first became a Christian, these groups and these communities of great loving people, by the way, awesome people. It's just the culture they're in, right? So one of their first orders of business is telling me, well, we don't need secular rap anymore. Do you know why, Kevin? My 19-year-old self or 20-year-old self was like, why? And they say, well, we have something called Christian rap. And it's just as good, if not better, than the Wu-Tang Clan that you've grown to love so much. And I'm like, let me check this out. And I'm going to be honest, this is a little side note for my life. I really tried for about 2 years of my life to like Christian rap. I thought it was my duty as a follower of Jesus. I thought that's maybe what I was supposed to do. And I tried for 2 years. And after that, I just couldn't do it anymore. Because so much of the lyrics and the music was reflective of this conservative culture that's always deciding who's in and who's out and who has this simple view of the world. And these rappers were sort of perpetuating so much of the culture of the faith that I found very problematic. So I tried, I couldn't do it. That's a different story. So this first group of people, conservative Christians who are sort of allergic to culture, they're the ones who are going to be suspicious of what's happening with Kanye in general. So for example, when Kanye did a gospel concert recently at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, a huge crowd clapped, erupted with cheers and praised, and there was probably tears, and people were like, in the aisles, pop locking for Jesus, basically, right? It was like going off. So there's this huge experience that people have. But then in one media outlet that was telling the story of it, some of the comments in the section were, some of the comments expressed this culture like to the T. So here's a couple comments I'm going to read that people were writing about when they saw this video posted of this performance Kanye did at a church. One person wrote, I will not trust Kanye West until he proves over time that his claimed faith is real. So this person refuses to trust Kanye West until he proves and whatever their criteria is for that, that his faith is real. So immediately met with suspicion. I don't trust this. They're kind of carrying that, you know, this is an artist. This is probably like he's very secular now. He's doing this. And they immediately are going to have some sort of resistance to it. Another person wrote even stronger than that. They wrote, "This isn't from God." It's a very bold statement. You can't mix what is unholy with what is holy. That is the embodiment of that conservative culture that draws those clear lines between sacred and secular, sacred and profane, the world and the church, us and them. So they're saying you can't mix what is unholy, which raises a question, what's unholy? Is it hip-hop music or hip-hop culture or rap music that you see as unholy, as if the spirit is nowhere to be involved there? Is it Kanye West himself, who this person sees as unholy and unable to mix with the divine or God or holiness? This quote sort of carries and expresses the entire culture of these conservative Christians who are allergic to culture, suspicious of celebrity, and always needing to draw these clear lines between us and them, who's in, who's out. It's this natural posture of suspicion, and it always carries this sort of oppositional energy of where this like this energy of I'm against you, this energy of you're not, we don't know if you're one of us yet. We don't know if you're in. We don't know if we can embrace this. So that's the first group. The first group is conservative Christians who are sort of allergic to culture and celebrity. Now, here's the second group, and this is why things can be a little bit confusing, which is why I want to do this. The second group, who I would say you probably hear the most from right now, are conservative Christians that are not allergic to celebrity, but rather conservative Christians that are addicted to celebrity. That would be my language, right? They're not antagonistic and allergic to culture and celebrity, but I would argue that there is a large group of conservative Christians in the United States of America who are obsessed with and addicted to the culture of celebrity. So the theologian Roger Olson says this. He says, quote, "Americans are obsessed with celebrities. Evangelical Americans are obsessed with celebrities who convert to evangelical Christianity by being born again." So this contemporary theologian says, yes, American culture in general obsessed with celebrities, right? Can we all agree with that to some degree? I think there is a very unhealthy obsession and addiction and connection people think they have with celebrities. But then he goes on to say, an evangelical, that's a group of, you know, these conservative Christians I'm referring to, evangelicals are obsessed with celebrities who convert to evangelical Christianity by being born again. Now, to put things in historical context, Kanye West is not the first public figure or celebrity to publicly convert to Christianity. Right? This has happened throughout the ages. You know, there was a time where it was very huge when Bob Dylan converted to Christianity. There was a time where it was very public that Johnny Cash converted to Christianity. There was a time where Pistol Pete Maravich, the NBA player, converted to Christianity, and it was a big thing. There was another time where the actress Jane Fonda converts to Christianity, and it's this very public thing, right? Kanye West is not the first expression of a well-known celebrity converting to Christianity. Now, it's possible he might be bigger or more popular due to his successes and maybe even and probably just the reach of media today. So his might be it might have the biggest effect, but it's not the first time. We just have to remember that. So here's the thing. Here's why, which kind of like both drives me crazy and makes me crack up at the same time. This is how it feels when Roger Olson says, evangelical Americans are obsessed with celebrities who convert to evangelical Christianity, right? So here's an example. Hey, Kylie Jenner went to Hillsong last week. That's so cool. Or, hey, did you know Chris Pratt is a Christian? Right on, man. Go, Chris. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. Or someone says, hey, did you know Selena Gomez was leading worship at a conference last week? Selena Gomez, we were there. It was so lit. We were on fire for Jesus, and she was up there killing it. And now, we have the best PR ever for Jesus. Do you know what's the best PR ever for Jesus? Kanye West publicly said, Jesus is King. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? Can you imagine the coolest artist in the world is now saying that Jesus is cool? Doesn't that make Jesus cool to you? Do you want to know Jesus? Like, that's kind of the energy that's at work when Roger Olson is saying that so many evangelical Christians are obsessed with celebrities who convert to Christianity. Now, the writer Andre Henry says this. He says, quote, it makes me sick to see these religious brands are using his celebrity to boost their relevance. I'm going to say that again. The writer says, it makes me sick to see these religious brands are using his celebrity to boost their relevance. What is he saying? He's saying it appears that these religious brands, whether it's churches or celebrity pastors or conferences, whoever it is, he's saying it seems like these people are using their connection with Kanye West to boost their brands, to boost their churches, to boost their names. And he's saying that is the issue that he sees. Now, this phenomenon that Henry is talking about, to me, is actually a thing because of the reality of what I call vicarious value. Now, here's how vicarious value works in our world. Vicarious value works like this. If I connect with someone of perceived value, then that then increases my value. So if that person has a certain degree of status, and I connect with them, if I'm friends with them, if I hang out with them, then what happens is their status vicariously translates to me. So if I'm connected with a person of status, that somehow gives me more status, right? This is why name dropping is a thing. This is why taking pictures with important people and showing other people is a thing. This is why some people love to cozy up to and get close to quasi-celebrities or people of status. Because what we think is, if I'm connected with people who are important, then you'll see me as more important. If I'm connected with people who have status, then you'll see me as a person who has status, which really comes down, which to me, it's why it's about vicarious value, because actually this whole thing is about value. If I'm connected with a person who you see as valuable, then I think that actually makes me more valuable. Think about it. Why else would we inorganically name drop people of status in conversations with people? Think about what purpose does that serve? Why do I feel this compulsion in this conversation to tell you that I know that important person, even though that's not even what we're talking about right now? You ever have those experiences? You're around a person and somehow they artificially or synthetically weave into the conversation who they know, who they've spent time with, who they kick it with, who they were with last week. And surprise, surprise, it's an important person. It's a quote unquote influencer. It's a celebrity, or it's a, you know, it could be a local celebrity. Like it's the high school football hero or whatever it is. See, we name drop because we think their name that carries value somehow gives value to our name, which is why it's funny to think if you're ever in a conversation with a person who is so clearly name dropping, you could just look at him and be like, hey, you don't have to do that. You're already valuable enough. Like you don't have to tell me who did that. I already think you're great. I already think you're valuable. You don't need to do that around me, which will confuse them. They'll either get angry and defensive or they'll start crying. So take it a step further in the Kanye West thing, right? So we understand vicarious value, their value gets transferred onto me. But here's the weird thing about the whole evangelical Americans being obsessed with celebrity thing is when they're talking about celebrities becoming Christians as if that's like the best PR for Jesus ever, it's not explicitly about the vicarious value of, oh, Chris Pratt is a Christian, therefore that makes me more valuable. No, that's not what they're saying. But it's almost like people are saying the value or the status of these celebrities who now know Jesus, it's like somehow their status or value is transferred onto Jesus. Because why else would they be making those connections? It's like, wow, can you believe Kanye West, who's without a doubt one of the biggest artists in the world, can you believe Kanye West is saying Jesus is king as if that's the best thing ever? I mean, ask yourselves, why is that the best thing ever? And to me, it's people are applying that same vicarious value method from celebrities onto Jesus as if the Savior, the Lord of the universe, needed an endorsement from some other celebrity type figure in the 21st century. Right? If indeed Jesus is the embodiment of the divine, the fullness of truth, etc., I don't think he is as insecure as we are, where he's looking for celebrity endorsements or people of higher status to somehow make him feel more valuable or cool or important to people. It's almost like that same process of name dropping and vicarious value that we use from people of status towards us. Somehow this culture of conservative Christians obsessed with celebrity do that same thing, but somehow apply the value to Jesus. Like, if this celebrity thinks Jesus is cool, now that makes Jesus more cool? Or if they want to know Jesus, somehow that increases the value of Jesus to the world? Like, that, to me, that is at the heart of so much of why this group of Christians are so obsessed with celebrity. Because it's not just celebrity on this broad level. It's why the youth pastor's like, hey guys, guess what? The starting quarterback came to youth group for the first time and he thinks Jesus is cool. Does that make Jesus cool, guys? Do you want to come to youth group too? Like, it's the same thing as that, just apply to a much broader cultural, national, or international level. Now we're saying it's not the high school quarterback who's cool who came to youth group. It's Kanye West came to church. Don't you think that makes Jesus cool? Don't you want to know this too? Which feels so weird and backwards to me. The thought of somehow getting someone else of cultural status to validate truth and love and goodness as a whole is so weird and to me has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus and has everything to do with the weird obsession with culture of celebrity that we are all swimming in and this group of people is kind of really bought into in their lives. Like this is why so many people think Kanye becoming a Christian and creating an album called Jesus is King is the best thing for the gospel ever. Because for them, it's if the coolest artist in the world thinks Jesus is cool, that makes Jesus cool, or that makes it more likely people will want to know him, or it's like the vicarious, the value, the status of Kanye West is somehow transferred onto like church faith and Jesus, which is so weirdo. It's so weird to me. The internal logic of it in that culture makes sense. But to me, it's so disturbing because the Jesus of the Gospels is one who always identified with the marginalized. The Jesus of the Gospels is one who always stood in solidarity with the oppressed. The Jesus of the Gospels is the one who challenged and critiqued and subverted cultural and social and political norms of power and celebrity and all of that, and actually was creating an entirely different way of being human, which allowed us to reconcile with those who were different, connect with those that we saw as less valuable, cross those barriers that separate us, and actually move towards those who have no status, those who aren't seen. But Jesus is spending his time with people who are forgotten by the culture, not who's worshipped by the culture. It's like the very culture of celebrity that people are trying to leverage for the sake of adding value to the faith is a part of the very culture of sort of norms that Jesus was challenging and subverting and was saying was bullshit the whole time. He's like, you're using things that I kind of was hoping you would see through in order to see people for who they are. And you're using those same things I was subverting and challenging for the sake of somehow adding value to me. It's weirdly ironic and it's strange. And to me, that idea of leveraging celebrity for the sake of the gospel is the exact opposite of what Jesus did when he sat with sinners and outcasts and people with no social value and people with no cultural status. And he kept saying, no, I actually begin my work over here. I don't begin it at the banquet tables. I don't begin it in around the political round tables with people who are in power. I begin it with people over here. I'm not looking for validation from them. I'm bringing validation towards everybody, especially those who have been forgotten. That's my mini sermon for today that came out of nowhere. So now that's the second group. First group, conservative Christians who are antagonistic to culture and celebrity. Second group, conservative Christians who are obsessed or addicted to celebrity. That is two out of three. Now we are moving on to the third group. The third group is how many progressive people are viewing the Kanye West situation right now. I'm about to take a drink of water after that sermon. So this is both socially progressive people and some of the more progressive people of faith who are also seeing this Kanye situation with an entirely different lens from the first two groups. Let me read a couple quotes right now from a couple writers. One writer says, Kanye West is spreading the gospel of white evangelicals. Another writer named Stereo Williams says Kanye West's gospel of, he talks about Kanye West's gospel of black self-hatred and white acceptance. It's a very strong statement. And in this Guardian article, this writer wrote this: despite the trove of black church traditions West could pull from, he went in the opposite direction, associating with the Trumps and Ostings of this world, along with power over people. Oh, he said aligning with power over people is merely Kanye doing what a rich man does. Okay, so here's what a few of these authors are getting at, especially in that Guardian article where they're saying, he said, despite the trove of black church traditions West could pull from, he's essentially aligning himself with very conservative and Republican, you know, Trump, Joel Osteen, etc., like people representing whiteness, people representing whatever, right? Here's the thing. What the critique here is Kanye West is talking about Jesus. But then an even more complex question becomes, well, which Jesus is Kanye West talking about? Is he talking about the socially radical prophetic Jesus who challenges systems, exercises demons, flips tables upside downs, and who's bringing a spiritual and social and cultural and cosmic revolution? Or is he talking about a conservative, narrow, exclusive white Jesus who aligns himself with power, who turns his back on the marginalized and the oppressed people, and is just trying to focus on individual souls getting to heaven? Because here, what some of these authors take issues with is you could draw from so much prophetic, profound, socially radical black churches and black thinkers and activists and pastors and leaders throughout American history, right? You're looking at people like Sojourner Truth. You're looking at people like Fannie Lou Hamer. You're looking at theologians like James Cone. You're looking at leaders of black churches. You're looking at leaders during the civil rights movement. You're looking at people like Cornel West. It's like all these profound voices like Kelly Brown Douglas, who's a black womanist theologian, right? There's all of these radically prophetic black Christian voices that Kanye West could identify with and draw from, but instead he's reaching out to Jerry Falwell Jr., if who you look up is one of the biggest sellouts of Christianity in the United States of America today. Or he's aligning himself with Joe Osteen, who, by the way, here's what I always say about Joe Osteen. Joe Osteen is not a bad guy. What I think about Joe Osteen is, you know, as a pastor, he's like that uncle who you don't see very often. And maybe you see, since we're coming up since Thanksgiving's tomorrow, actually, it's like the one you see at Thanksgiving and Christmas and that's it. And he's not entering into the complexity of your life. He maybe isn't the best systems thinker. He maybe isn't the most profound thinker on social or justice issues. But when he sees you, he looks at you, he gives you a smile, and he hugs you, he tells you he loves you, and he reminds you, you know what, little buddy? You can do anything you want, and God's with you. That's kind of how I see Joel Osteen as a pastor in this world. Can you get more depth? Does the world involve more complexity than that simple statement? Sure. Is our life actually more complex than, hey, little buddy, God loves you and you can do anything? Is life more complex than that and more challenging? Of course it is. But that doesn't devalue the statement. And I don't think it takes away from the intentions of the sweet uncle who says that. That's kind of how I see Joel Osteen in this country. He's just reminding you, God loves you and he's with you and you're safe here, which is valuable in and of itself, but for a holistic picture of life, probably doesn't go far enough. Okay, that's what I'm going to say about him. So what some of these more progressive voices are taking issue with is they see Kanye as aligning himself right now based on the churches he goes to, the leaders he connects with, the way he talks about his faith, the way he talks about black people right now, etc. They're saying it looks like he's aligning himself with conservative white churches and a conservative political system that has historically supported the very political and economic and social oppression of oppressed black people in the United States of America. So talk about Jesus, awesome. But because of the people you're aligning with, it appears that now you are connected with, aligning yourself with, supporting, and thus reinforcing the very systems of economic oppression, the very systems of racism, the very systems of exploitation that have kept our people down as black people, that have kept black folks down historically in the United States of America. So these people, like these writers, these authors, progressive folks, they're like, cool, you identify with Jesus, but how you're handling the situation and who you align yourself with is also saying something and is also communicating very powerful things that maybe he doesn't realize right now. And here's something to think about when it comes to this. you can do good at an individual level while still perpetuating oppression and marginalization at a cultural or a systemic level. This is a little more critical thinking when it comes to this. It's not as simple as good or bad, right? Somebody can do individually good things while still perpetuating and reinforcing systems of injustice, which perpetuates evil, oppression, etc. Here's an example. Imagine there's a train that's, you know, going across the country. And on this train, there's a doctor and a nurse. So imagine this doctor, she's going around, you know, taking care of people on the train, right? She's bandaging up people's wounds. She's putting people's arms in casts. She's giving people medicine, right? She's doing individually good things. That's great. On a one-to-one individual level, she's doing good things. Now, let's also take into consideration that she is one of the investors, or I'm just kind of making this up, one of the investors or owners of this train. And here's the thing. This train is a part of a company that consistently pays people wages that do not make their life livable. So they're exploiting poor people who are desperate for jobs and not paying them livable wages to take care of their family, even though they have the means to do so. And this train has been designed in such a way to maximize profit, even while it's publicly known it's the most destructive train for the world, for the environment. So here's this train, it's not paying, the company's not paying people livable wages, it's exploiting poor people, it's made decisions to maximize its profit, even though they know it's hurting the planet and causing so much destruction. Let's say that's already been proven publicly. Let's say it's also, you know, exporting and making money off of, you know, pharmaceuticals that are being overcharged and leading to addiction and sort of a big epidemic right now. I could go on and on and on. Here's why that's a good analogy. The doctor, the fact that there are broader cultural, systemic, or social things that this train and this company are perpetuating, not paying people livable wages, exploiting the poor, destroying the planet, that doesn't negate the individually good things this doctor's doing. I'm glad that person's arm got healed. I'm glad that person got their wound clean so they don't get staph infection. You can say that's a valuable thing, those individual things, while at the same time critiquing and challenging the evil and the injustice that they're perpetuating at a cultural and a systemic level. So when you think about more progressive folks who have these critiques of Kanye, I think they're legitimate. I think when they see who he's aligning himself with and what that communicates, I do think there's some perpetuation and reinforcement of economic systems that have exploited black and brown people and people of color, women, LGBTQ people historically in the United States of America. Whether Kanye realizes it or not, he is aligning himself with those kinds of systems based on who he's sort of reaching out to right now. But at the same time, when you see Kanye West, you know, going to a prison, for example, and having some sort of worship experience, let's say if some of those individuals in that prison gain hope from seeing an artist they love come and that hope inspires them to hold on while they're there, that's a good thing. Let's say if having Kanye West there for some reason helps them open up to God and to love and to grace in a new way, that's a good thing, and we can celebrate that. But we can celebrate the good that's happening at an individual level while at the same time having a critical lens about what is being perpetuated and reinforced at systemic or cultural levels. Does that resonate with you? I think that is the kind of critical lens as spiritual leaders and as a pastor myself that we need right now to look at the situation as a whole, to challenge the negative things that are being perpetuated, but also be able to celebrate the good things that are also coming out. It's a very, very complex thing. That's why everyone's talking about it. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why people are so fascinated. But I would also end with this in this section. The theologian Candace Benbo, after the release of Jesus is King, Kanye's album, wrote this on Twitter. She said, "The intersection of my blackness and my faith is too sacred and holy to listen to a Trump lover who routinely disrespects my ancestors." That is an important thing for us to listen to. Here's this black woman who's a theologian who maybe has liked Kanye. I don't really know her history like that. But what she's saying is, because of some of the comments he's making, because of who he's aligning himself with, she's like, "I see it as disrespect to my ancestors, to so many black people who have fought for freedom beyond systems of oppression that Kanye West is sort of aligning himself with through this legacy right now." That is the third group. Conservative Christians, both allergic to and addicted to culture and celebrity. The third one is a broad picture of why some progressives are critical of some of the things Kanye is saying and doing, some of the people he's spending time with, etc. Now, even though I did kind of make a big picture point of the systemic and the individual level, I'm just going to give a few thoughts and quotes of my own views on this as I wrap up the different views of people. One, it's not as simple as saying, well, is Kanye doing this a good or a bad thing? It's just not that simple. It's not good or bad. There's good things happening. There's interesting conversations happening. There's a lot of weird stuff involved. It's like what I said about the individual and the systemic. I think there's individually good things happening. I think there's some broader cultural things that are being perpetuated through this that I see as problematic, like evangelicals, like Christians' obsession with celebrity, the vicarious value thing, obviously the social and the political stuff, Kanye aligning himself with historically very conservative people who are a part of perpetuating legacies that have kept black and brown people, people of color, women, LGBTQ people, out of having the same kinds of rights and the same quality of life other people have had. So that's one thing. It's just, it's not as simple or as good or bad. It's a lot of things. Here's another thing, especially when I think about the first group of people. Anyone, anywhere, anytime can have an awakening experience with Christ. No matter what they think right now, no matter where they're at, no matter what they've experienced, any person can have a spontaneous experience of God. And we need to give the Spirit the freedom to work wherever, however, whenever, and with whomever she wants. Right? So when people are like, well, you don't have to naturally be suspicious or antagonistic. This person could wake up out of nowhere. This person all of a sudden realizes I'm not alone here. This person you would have never thought all of a sudden has this awakening moment of, well, I just felt this overwhelming sense of love, and they never felt that before. These things happen. And we need to not always meet those things with suspicion. We should be able to meet those things with hope that more and more people can wake up, can know how loved they are, can know how seen they are, can experience how inherently valuable they are through the affirming presence of God that is with all of us all the time. And I also would say for the conservative folks who are like, well, you know, he'll have to prove it in a few years. Like, there's an oppositional energy to that, but at the same time, that's not totally bad. Because the fruit of real encounter with God and with love and with grace expresses itself within a few years. Like the writer on world religions, Houston Smith, says there's a difference between religious experience and a religious life. You know, person could take psychedelics and have what they describe as a religious experience. I've had that experience before. But that doesn't necessarily mean a religious experience translates itself into a transformed, compassionate, loving life. So there is some truth to like, hey, in a few years, you will have a better sense of how deep this thing is taking root. Whether, because some people, you know, see what's happening as another sort of swing in Kanye West's public expression of his mental health issues, which he's very open about. There's many people who just see this as another sort of arc in the drama of his unfolding struggles with mental health issues. And time will tell whether, when people are like, oh, this is mania, this is manic, you know, there's another low, there's another, you know, he's disconnected from reality or whatever it is. Like, regardless of what everybody thinks, it's, and if using 2 to 3 years, you get a sense of, if that person's transformed and they're more free and more compassionate and less egocentric and more loving and more generous, like, this is always the fruit of real religious experience with God. So when someone says, well, let's just wait for a few years to see if it's real, it's like, okay, and that's true for every human being. Let's wait for a few years, see how transformed people are, because the fruit of religious experience of life with God is freedom, joy, patience, all this good stuff. One, you know, when someone proclaims Jesus is Lord in public, there's value in that, and it creates controversy and conversation. It gets people talking about faith. It gets people talking about depth, and I think that's a good thing, regardless of where it goes or how people respond. Anything that provokes deeper conversations about who we are as human beings, where we're heading, what it means to be alive, I think that's a good thing. So all the conversations, the conversation itself is valuable. But like I said, with the whole cultural and systemic thing, but when the Jesus you're proclaiming feels a lot like the narrow, simplistic, conservative, exclusive Jesus that so many people in our world are moving on from or recovering from, that also needs to be named for what it is. Kanye's talking about Jesus? Awesome. But also, it is important to think about what Jesus is he talking about. Because if it's not the beautiful, open, inclusive, challenging to the empire, challenging to oppression Jesus who comes to bring a revolution, then we need to also name that for what it is. So one could say, to me, when I look at it, I'm like, Kanye West's Jesus right now is a lot more Billy Graham than it is Martin Luther King Jr. I would love to see some more MLK come into his Jesus and his sort of social and theological imagination and how he thinks about the kingdom of God. So that all depends on who you're being shaped by, who you're talking to. For me personally, one of the things when I speak specifically to and about the church, one of the things that's so important for me that this brings up is the problem whenever people look to celebrities to somehow validate their faith. When I see pastors so obviously highlighting their relationships with celebrities, that to me is corny. That to me in some ways is a betrayal of the very Jesus that they're trying to preach, who never aligned himself with quote unquote important people, who never aligned himself with quote unquote cool people, who never aligned himself with politically powerful people. They're leveraging celebrity and status to highlight the very Jesus who saw through what is just the bullshit of all of that culture and inspired people to see people for who they were. Jesus was inviting us to see the image of God in the forgotten, in the marginalized, in the people without status. Jesus was not looking to people with status to validate what he was doing. He was looking to people who had no status to validate who they were. So for me, that's one of the biggest things that's highlighted for me through this is just what Roger Olson said, that obsession with celebrity and as if it somehow validates Jesus or the gospel. And these people wouldn't say that, you know, they'd be like, well, it just gives Jesus a bigger platform. And I'm like, that on the surface, ostensibly, that might be what people would say. But deep down, I just personally think it's some of the deeper, more insecure ego, vicarious value stuff. And I just think people's desire to be aligned with celebrities and people of status in general. So this to me brings up a lot of that weird relationship with celebrities and faith and churches, and where so often it appears very well-known Christian leaders use celebrities like little mascots for their brand or mascots for Jesus. I honestly just think a lot of that super weirdo stuff, and because not just personal preference, I think it's in some ways doing the exact opposite of what the very Jesus they're preaching was doing in his life in first century Palestine and Jerusalem where he was. So that's always the biggest thing. And to finish off with that, in the end, as a person of faith and as people who identify with Jesus, the heroes are the people that get no public recognition and keep showing up and loving other people in ways they're never going to be recognized for. As Christians, those are the heroes we should be seeking out. As Christians, it shouldn't be, let's look to people of status or celebrities as somehow gauges for what it means to be Christian or people who validate their faith. The people in the way of Jesus, it's the mom who is caring for her kids and yet is still showing up to her church and is still spending time with the youth in her church and is still helping teenagers navigate their tough emotional lives. It's the dad who keeps working hard, who keeps showing up for his kids. It's the young man who keeps showing up for kids in the community who don't have a dad. These are the heroes of the faith that I wish were highlighted more than just people who are like, "Ooh, Kanye West said Jesus is king. That's cool." I'm like, there's an entire cloud of witnesses, like the book of Hebrews says, of modern day saints and mystics and revolutionaries and leaders that are around us all the time that will never get any of the public recognition, but are doing the Jesus path of love and compassion and service and creativity and caring for people every single day. And if there's one thing I wish this would point us to, is it would point us away from the culture's, especially Christians' obsession with celebrity, and it would turn our eyes towards the everyday leaders that are around us all the time doing the real way of Jesus while nobody's paying attention. Those are the people who are going to show us the kingdom of God. Those are the people that already get the kingdom of God. Those are the people who can shape us to become more and more Christ-like, more and more human every single day. So that's the end of my podcast of Kanye. I hope this conversation continues.